Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 64. Home Car Repair Code Readers. Good luck. What do I mean by that? Well, these are, you know, the little, well, I mean, I've seen them advertised in magazines, even on TV. But basically, my understanding is that there's either some kind of an app for your phone and or you pay for, either you pay for the app and or you're part of that package is you're also getting a what we call a dongle. It's basically a wiring cable that goes between your phone and the plug-in on your car, which is called an OBD2 connector, Onboard Diagnostics Generation 2, which is typically somewhere around the driver's side, in this case left side for USA, kind of in the basically below the steering wheel, kind of the left-hand side of what's called the footwell area where you put your feet. There's a general area that it's supposed to be in. You know, typically it's underneath the dash, kind of the left side of the car. Sometimes it's underneath a cover, so on and so forth, okay? But that's also called a DLC, Diagnostic Link Connector, okay? So the idea being is that there are, you know, code readers, apps for your phone with a wire connection dongle that you as the consumer can supposedly, you know, go in and pull fault codes from your car. And the idea being is that, hey, you don't even need the repair shop. You can just pull codes and go get parts and fix the car yourself. Well, good luck with that, okay? You know, I'm sure there are some success stories out there where people have been able to do that, okay? But there's so many things that are potentially against you. You know, the only thing that a company that's selling something like that, whether it be an app for your phone end or a wire dongle or whatever, and I've seen prices of like maybe $30 all the way up to maybe $100, okay? You know, beyond that, it's probably not necessarily something that connects with your phone, or maybe it is, and there is, you know, more advantages options available as far as what you're getting. But the first thing you have to realize is that any scan tool, that, as a for instance, if it's an OBD2 scan tool, it can only read codes from the powertrain system. In other words, the engine and the transmission control systems. It doesn't do anything for the body or anything else, okay, because OBD2 has to do with powertrain, okay? The other thing you need to keep in mind is EPA, at least in the USA, EPA mandates that there's what's called generic code list, okay? Generic codes are just that the EPA tells the manufacturer, here's the list of generic codes, and your onboard diagnostics has to at least be able to read these. They all mean the same thing from each manufacturer, okay? They're called generic, hence the reason that that's what they're called, okay? So typically your low-dollar code readers are generic, okay, and that's all they will read is generic codes. The thing that most people don't realize is the EPA also says to the manufacturer, if you want to have your own fault codes that are outside of the generic list, that's fine. We don't care, all right? If you want to give more information available to the technician or someone who has a better code reader, go for it, okay? Those are called enhanced codes. They are manufacturer specific, and they require a scan tool that's going to cost a lot more money, okay? And of course, you're then able to get more information from the car, okay, than what you can possibly ever get from just generic codes. So the whole thing is about this, you know, home car repair code reader is they're selling you something that the only thing they have to guarantee is the fact that it can plug in and give you generic codes, because that's all it's doing, okay? And people seem to have this false knowledge or thought process is that that's all you have to do from a diagnostic standpoint is plug it in, here's the codes. It says, oh, there's a oxygen sensor fault, so I'm going to go replace the oxygen sensors. And, you know, the bottom line is that maybe that by chance does fix it. And so you think, ah, well, God, I didn't have to go to the repair shop. I did this myself, okay? The thing is that that fault code can be triggered for a variety of different reasons. It doesn't necessarily mean that just because there's an oxygen sensor fault code, that that's what's wrong with the car, okay? And this is where it's possible that it could trigger a generic code that says oxygen sensor, but in the background, there's an enhanced code that you can't read because you have a generic fault code reader that is giving way more information to a technician or someone who actually has a proper, good quality, more expensive scan tool. And there could be enhanced codes in the background that give a lot more information, and it helps the technician to be able to go down the right road to find out that, well, yes, there is an oxygen sensor fault code, but the real problem is maybe there's a connection issue, or there's something else that's triggering those codes. And this is where diagnostics and testing come into play, okay? Proper diagnostics and testing, okay? So with a generic, you know, you're not getting all the information potentially. The other thing too that, and again, people seem to have this false thought process that, you know, that you have a fault code, there it is, okay? Your diagnostics is over with. I'm just going to go replace whatever this part is, okay? Fault codes are the beginning of the diagnostic process, not the end, okay? It's the beginning, okay? It's not that it's worthless information. It's a starting point, okay? I was listening to a professional podcast here not long ago where they talked about, they were talking about fault codes and where people, the general public, seem to, you know, think that it's the end-all, know-all of repairing a car. And the analogy was, and I thought it was quite good, was they would say, like, let's say that you were asking me, well, where do I live? Okay. And I said, well, I live in Newbury Park. Okay. Well, that's pretty general. Okay. You have no idea where I live. And there's thousands of homes in Newbury Park. Okay. Then you'd say, well, gee, that's not really enough information. I mean, that'd be like not plugging a fault code reader in at all. Okay. So let's say you go ahead and you get your fault code reader and it's generic and you plug it in. And you see these codes, that would be like you asking me where do I live and I tell you what street I'm on, okay? You're closer, you're better off than you were before, but depending upon how many homes there are on the street I live on, you're still not at my house yet, okay? Hence, you're still not at what's wrong with your car, okay? That's what fault code readers basically do, even the good ones, okay? You're on the street. You're better off than you were before, but you still don't know what house I live in, okay? Frankly, there's really no necessarily scan tool that will literally put you to not only here's the street, but here's the address, okay? The address comes from proper diagnostic and testing, okay? That's where the address comes from, okay? Now we're talking about someone who knows what they're doing. They have the proper other diagnostic tools. They've got information available to them, and they go through the process. That's when you find out what actual house the guy lives in, okay? So, you know, a person could say, well, you know, in today's world, it could be, hey, why pay for anything? Why even buy the app and the dongle and all of that? Because there are national parts chain stores like AutoZone and some of the other ones that are offering free code reading. So you go in, they plug in to your car for free, and they're more than happy to sell you whatever parts they think, it's not like they know, okay? And again, it could go back to, well, there's oxygen sensor fault. Okay, well, we're going to sell you oxygen sensors, and you happily buy them because you're thinking, this is great. And, you know, you put them in yourself. Or another scenario would be you go ahead and buy them, and you walk into a repair shop and say, yeah, I had these guys read my fault codes. Here's these oxygen sensors. I want you to put them in. How much will it cost me? Okay. Well, again, good luck with that. In my shop, I'd be asking you some questions. I'd be asking, well, where did you get these fault codes from? And, you know, where did you buy the parts from? And that you're, what happens if I put those parts in, which I never would, by the way, but I would ask them, what happens if I put those parts in and it doesn't fix the problem? Now what? Okay. You've already spent money. And of course, once those parts are installed, they cannot be returned because they're no longer new. Okay. So, in my mind, was that necessarily the best way to spend your money? Okay. And again, I'm not saying that there's not success stories out there where people have either done this themselves, they fixed their own car, and it worked out fine. Great. I'm happy for you. Okay. Or maybe they went to a repair shop that was willing to put in their customer-supplied parts, and it all worked out. And you know, they're thinking, hey, I saved diagnostic and troubleshooting money, and I saved money on the part because I didn't pay the repair shop price for the part, so on and so forth. Well, I'm glad for you, okay? But just understand that just because you have fault codes in hand, you do not necessarily know what's wrong with the car. Okay, so it can get, you know, it can get to be a sticky wicket, and, you know, a person doing that, and again, there's generic fault codes and there's enhanced fault codes, so you may not even have all of the information in hand. And by the way, the AutoZone scan tool they're going to use is a generic reader, so we're right back to that problem too. You know, the bottom line is that if someone's giving you something for free, let's face it, either it's sort of a come on so that you come on in and ultimately buy something from them, okay? And obviously, whatever information they're giving you, they've put no value on it whatsoever, okay? So how much value do you put on it? Probably not very much, okay? The motivation for the consumer at that point is they're just trying to get something done to fix their car and save money, okay? I understand wanting to save money. I mean, I'm a consumer just like everybody else. But I tend to question, you know, I don't want to save money if I end up having to do the same repair in this case, you know, over again, or pay somebody else to do it because now it's been done 2, 3, 4 times and the car's still not fixed because you were a person who was trying to go the cheap route. Okay. Cars are extremely powerful rolling computers. Okay. There's gazillions of things that can go wrong. Okay. And they're not necessarily fixed by just replacing parts. Sometimes it could be a connection issue. It could be a ground issue. It could be, you know, a power supply issue. There's a fuse that doesn't have a good connection. There's lots of other things. You could have a mixture. Well, a perfect example is that there's a generic code that would show that the fuel-air mixture was not right. Okay, in the generic form of that, it doesn't necessarily tell you, well, is this a lean code or a rich code? Okay, an enhanced code reader would tell you that as far as, yes, this is a lean code or it's a rich code. And you would also be able to get information of, you know, when has it been happening, what mileage, what are the other operating parameters when the code was set. There's what's called a freeze frame or snapshot that an enhanced code reader would give you as a readout or printout or whatever. Okay, so now the person has more information. They can see what mileage this has been happening at, and maybe what the engine temperature was, and the load factor on the engine, and so on and so forth when the code was set. And again, this is all for information. This is all information for a technician or someone who's knowledgeable to be able to take that information, and it becomes part of the testing and diagnostic process. But, you know, as a, for instance, if there's a lean code, which means the car is either getting too much air, or I should say the engine, is getting too much air or not enough fuel, okay? Well, okay, now what, right? You know, again, did the fault code get you to my home address? No, it did not. Okay. Did it get you onto my street? You now know that it's faulting because it perceives a lean mixture. Yes, it did. Okay. And again, this is an enhanced code I'm talking about. So a professional repair shop, what are they going to do next? They're probably going to start looking for any air leaks. Okay, which means they're going to use a smoke machine. If they know what they're doing and they have the proper equipment, they're going to use a smoke machine, which, by the way, costs anywhere from $1,000 to $4,000 for a smoke machine. Okay, where you inject smoke into the system, into the air intake system, or anything that you're trying to find an air leak. And if the smoke comes out someplace else where it's not supposed to be, there's your vacuum leak. Okay, that's probably what's causing a lean mixture. I'm not saying it's all encompassing, but there we are. Okay, so did the code reader get you to that place? No, no, it did not. Okay, so, you know, there's an example of where what I'd recommend to do. There's two previous podcasts I've done that really go way more in depth into this. One is episode 8, which is called Why Diagnostics Shouldn't Be Free. And the other one is episode 43, which is called Service Engine Soon Light On, Now What? Okay. You know, I would recommend listening to those if you want to kind of, you know, be more educated as far as what I'm talking about. Okay. Ask your local repair shop that you trust, you know, what they paid for their scan tool and how many they have. Okay. The more types or brands of cars that a repair shop works on, and assuming that they want to really be able to do a proper job and have enhanced scan tools and stuff, they're going to be spending probably at a minimum anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000, and that would be a low-end professional scan tool up to, well, my own personal scan tool that the original price on it was $8,500. It does cost me $143 a month to keep it upgraded or updated, the software updates, and that also includes personal, you know, via telephone technical support if I need it. Okay. So obviously, hopefully, whatever information I'm getting that scan tool is probably a lot more beneficial and there's a lot more information available from it than the $50 app that you buy for your phone. Okay. It's either that or there's a whole heck of a lot of repair shops out there that have spent way too much money on scan tools and that we're all stupid because that's what we did. Okay. So for a person to compare their $50 app and dongle and what they're doing on their own to a professional repair shop that has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars potentially in diagnostic and repair equipment, you know, frankly, it's, I don't know. Anyway, So ask them how many they have scan tools. You might be surprised, okay? I've certainly talked with shop owners, especially ones that are general repair shops that work on anything that rolls in, and they really, you know, they're motivated to try to really cover all the bases. I've talked with ones that have 6, 7, 8 different scan tools, and at minimum, they're a couple $1,000s a piece, if not more than that, okay? These are repair shop owners that obviously are highly dedicated and motivated to be able to work on cars properly when you're talking about that kind of an investment. Okay. So, you know, like I say, the typical app for the phone and stuff, you might spend $35 to $100. So, you know, look at what you're getting. Okay. The sad part out there, and again, I talk about this in some of the two other podcasts that I mentioned, the sad part is that there are certainly some shops that attempt to fix cars the same way you're contemplating. Get the codes, go to the internet to see what other people have done, and of course those are non-professionals and what they're saying they did to their car. Go buy parts or tell the repair shop that this is what you want done. Wow. Okay. They're out there, you know, quote unquote professional repair shops. Some of them will work that way. Okay. Again, I talk about episode number 8, why diagnostics shouldn't be free. I talk about different diagnostic strategies, and there are ones out there that are what's called fault code based, where they really don't do much better of a job than what you might be able to do yourself. Okay, and yes, they're going to potentially charge you for it. Or if they don't charge you for it, again, what value are they providing? They haven't even put a value on what it is they're doing. Okay, and they're going to pull fault codes, they go on the internet, see what other people are saying about it, figure up an estimate, call you. You know, they may say, yeah, here's what's wrong. They don't really know for sure. Okay. Order the parts, put them in. Oh, that didn't fix it. Well, must be something else. Okay. Now we're going to start this process all over again. And this is all with your money and your car's tied up and it's still not fixed yet. Okay. So with each one of those phone calls that it's not fixed yet, how happy are you going to be? Okay. And this is where some people feel like, hey, I could do this myself. Yeah, you could when you consider what that shop is really actually doing and how they're doing it. Maybe you could even do a better job yourself. Okay. That's the sad part. Okay. So, my advice would be, my advice would be up front is ask the repair shop, what process do they use? How do they go through this diagnostic and testing process? What is their, typical scenario? And they may say, well, what's wrong with your car? And that's not really what you're asking. Okay. The sad part is that by, as far as in my opinion, and again, I'm not going to throw somebody under the bus if this is what's happening in front of me, but when somebody walks in and they've either, used their own code reader or they've gone to AutoZone and they have a handful of parts they want me to put in, or they're telling me, yeah, I had a buddy who's got a code reader and this is the fault code, so I want you to fix my car based off of that. Frankly, in some respects, what they're showing me is really, they're showing me just kind of how ignorant they are as far as what really is required for the repair process and the diagnostic and testing. And in some respects, depending upon their attitude, they're being disrespectful of that entire process. Okay. But this is out of ignorance. They really don't know. They think they know. Okay. They've talked to a buddy that, oh yeah, just do this, do that, and it'll be fine, and you'll save a bunch of money because all the repair shops are just trying to rip you off. Okay. The sad part is probably everybody has a story that may very well fall into that category in their life, depending upon how old they are and how long they've owned cars, and maybe their ability or lack of ability to find a good repair shop they can trust. Okay. It's like really any profession out there. There's people involved and there's good people and there's bad people. Okay. There's people that are doing whatever it is they're doing that they shouldn't be doing it. Okay. And certainly in the world of car repair, most states in this country, including California, there is no minimum competency test. And again, I've mentioned this before in regards to finding a good repair shop and so on and so forth. There's no minimum competency test. So you take your car in. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I get talking to customers about this. And there's times I bring it up, where people are, it's not necessarily that they're saying that, well, you guys are all the same or whatever the case may be, that, they don't even realize. I mean, in the state of California, the only licensing or anything that's required is if someone's doing smog repairs, okay? The shop has to be licensed, and each of the technicians that's doing smog repairs, this is legal we're talking about, has to be licensed as well. So the state, if they start seeing that, a shop is either passing too many cars or whatever, they can come in and run a undercover car through the shop with known issues and see if the shop, catches it or not, okay? And yes, they can potentially either, take their license away. But the bottom line is that's just for smog repairs and smog checking. In the state of California and the vast, vast majority of states in the U.S., there's no minimum competency test. Nothing. Okay. So, in most states in this country, and certainly again, California, the person, if you go to a professional who cuts your hair, and they have through the State Department of Consumer Affairs, they are licensed as a barber or hairstylist or whatever. They are licensed by the state to cut your hair. Why? Health issues, okay? they have to know. There's different health issues, basically, that they have to know about and hopefully follow. So they're not putting your health at risk, and they're cutting your hair, okay? So we could sit here and go, well, how many people are they going to kill if they don't necessarily do it right? One, you, okay? But yet, the person who's working on your car, okay, that is traveling down the road at 70, 80, 90 miles an hour with one or more people inside of it, with maybe dozens of people around you, the person who's working on your car, do they have any licensing to do any of those repairs? No. Okay. So it kind of gets, you know, a little bit interesting out there. And I understand people potentially wanting to do things themselves. I do understand it. Okay. I mean, that's how I got started, was as a hobbyist. I was working on my own car. I was working on my parents' car, okay, as a hobbyist. And that's fine, you know. But I also, you know, made some mistakes and learned from it. And here I am, well, let's see, as a professional, 40 years later, as a professional. I mean, I've been studying and working on cars for about 45 years. Yeah. So I started really taking an interest in them and started learning about them and buying college level textbooks of automotive theory and how different systems work and stuff like that when I was about 15 years old. So, yeah, it's been about 45 years. So do I know everything? No, because the patient is always changing. You know, car technology is always changing. And so there's always something to learn. But, so, you know, again, it's, I understand people wanting to do it as far as, you know, coming in with codes and so on and so forth, but just understand what it is you are getting, however it is you've retrieved those codes, okay? And just realize that, you know, in some respects, you know, I've had people come in and say, yeah, these are the fault codes I got, and they're asking me to, you know, fix their car based off of that. And I don't take it personally. I don't sit there and tell them what I just said about, you know, in some respects they're being disrespectful. They just don't really know. They don't realize. And so I am going to talk to them about, you know, that's really not the way that I operate my shop. And here's the can of worms they're potentially opening up. And just see how they respond. You know, some people, they've already bought the parts, and I'll go, well, have you opened them up? No. And I go, well, there's no reason why you can't take them back then, okay? You know, that's certainly one of the ways to go with it. So I would really, you know, encourage you that if you want to find out more, to listen to the other podcasts that I've done, and, you know, hopefully you find them more, you find yourself being more enlightened and more knowledgeable about this particular subject. It's, you know, there's nothing wrong with information, as long as it's good information and it's from reliable sources that know what they're talking about. And, you know, like I just said, I don't know everything because technology is always changing. But, you know, I certainly have dedicated the vast majority of my life to you know, learning and understanding and keeping up with stuff. And, you know, you go from there. I mean, this is what I do. So, and, you know, the whole reason for doing these podcasts is that I'm just trying to pass that information along to the consumer for people who are interested that want to learn a little bit more about their car or about car technology. And, you know, hopefully some of these different podcasts have helped people with, you know, how to find a good repair shop and what to ask for and what to look for, and talking about warranties and, you know, so on and so forth. So that's enough rambling for me, I think. So I appreciate your time. I hope I haven't, I'm not trying to be negative or anything. You know, I enjoy what I do. And probably because of that, and I enjoy helping people, this is another, you know, motivation of why I'm doing these podcasts. So I hope you found it informational. I appreciate your time. If you ever want to get a hold of me via email, it's bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. I appreciate any feedback or review or anything. And then certainly if you have any ideas for, you know, new titles or subjects, always appreciate that. Again, I can't think of everything. So, I'm on LinkedIn, and my shop is in Southern California. It's called Brad's Motorworks. Again, I only work on BMWs. So if you're ever in the area, stop by and say hi, and we'll go from there. So appreciate your time. I hope you have a great today and a fantastic tomorrow, and thank you again for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.